Welcome back to Community Connections, or I hope you haven't left, but we're going to change the pace a bit as we do, as we go along, and now we're going to talk to Kim Warmold. Now, Kim is a Montrose resident. She's a retired school teacher, environmentalist and a bird photographer, and she'd like to talk a bit about the planned expansion of the quarry down at Montrose. So first of all, welcome, Kim.
Hi, thanks, Alan.
That's good to have you along. Kim, let me just ask you a couple of things. Do you belong to a group yourself, or are you part of a community group, or are you just speaking on your behalf?
Both, actually. I'm part of Montrose Environmental Group.
Yep.
We fought the quarry expansions in the 90s and the 2000s, and won. It was won both of those times. I'm also part of the Stop Montrose Quarry Expansion Group, and I'm also speaking as a resident whose house just half an hour ago shook so badly with a quarry blast that I'm still shaking.
Right. Now, Kim, you said that it's been extended twice before, did you?
No, they had applied, Alan, sorry.
Sorry?
Yeah, they'd applied to expand.
So what happened
twice before?
What happened the last twice? It didn't go ahead?
Yeah, the Shire rejected their application both times.
Right.
The second time in the mid-noughties, hard to know what to call that decade, they tried again with a slightly smaller expansion proposal, and that time it went to a full environmental effect statement, which is the last thing they could legally do to try and get it through.
Yep.
So they spent $13.4 million on consultants looking at a whole range of issues: blasting, health, traffic, visual impact, noise, amenity, everything, hydrology, you know, everything you could imagine. They had to get expert consultants to work on it, or environment, if I didn't say that.
Yep.
And they lost that as well. It was the first EES that was lost by the proponent. It was huge, a fabulous win for the community. They were supposed to have closed by now.
Yep.
In the same way that, you know, any quarries that in built-up areas in the past, there was Box Hill.
Yep.
And Ferntree Gully, Lilydale, they've all closed as more homes.
Yep.
And schools were built around them. This quarry was supposed to have closed years and years ago, but it's still going, and it's now just shocked everyone by asking for an expansion that's 58% bigger than the one they lost in 2008.
Sure. Now, you said that they've, pardon me, it should have closed. So why is it still open then, Kathy? Kim?
Yeah, well, they kept, who knows really, and I wish we knew.
Yep.
They kept saying that they would run out of rock in 7 to 10 years, and back in the 90s it was 7 to 12 years. Well, they're still going. And that was if they weren't given the expansions that they'd applied for at that time. And do you know what I think even makes me even sadder about this is two aspects. One, the health impact is huge. Just a couple of years ago, a young mum who worked in the offices at the site was diagnosed with silicosis. She's got two little girls. It's devastating.
Yep.
She worked 90 metres from the pit. There are properties that are under 60 metres from the pit, and there are numerous schools, homes, kinders, aged care facilities, workplaces within the EPA's 500 metre buffer zone. I think they can now call it a separation zone.
Right. So how big in this application, first of all, are they asking for more land? I presume they are.
They've got the extra land, Alan, that it was originally, it has always been known as the buffer zone. So the land between the pit and the Melbourne water, the Fossil Road Retarding Basin, and the Ken Neversha Reserve. The other thing that is particularly upsetting this time round is that we experienced horrendous bushfire here earlier this year that took out 34 hectares, I believe, of Kenneversha Reserve and the land along the southern part of the quarry. The bit that they're wanting now to remove, the 30 acres that they now want to remove, is what was left is a refuge in that part of the area. So all the fairy wrens and other creatures that were able to get to safety have gone to that area. The thought that they would take that out is distressing.
Is part of their application also to extend the life of the quarry? Because if they're going to take more in, obviously you would think they also want to extend the life of the quarry.
Yeah, you're right. So what they're looking at is a 30-year extension. There's somewhere in their paperwork I read 40 years, and I think there's other decades mentioned in other parts of their paperwork, which was flawed in many ways, including having a box tick that said they hadn't applied for an expansion before.
Oh. All right, Kim, I've got to take a quick break. I've got to play a couple of sponsors, so if you just hang in there, we'll be back to you in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, no worries.
Thanks. Talking to Kim, and Kim is talking about the expansion of the Mount Montrose quarry down there. Kim, I must be a simple man, but you said in the earlier part that Borrell said that there was only 10 years left, and this is a few years ago. So why do they need another 30 years, and it's well past the 10 years they said anyway? I don't quite understand that. How all of a sudden they found about another 40 years of life in the quarry?
Yeah, they said 7 to 10 years, but what they want to do is take out 30 acres of forest, and that includes some vulnerable forest types, some endangered flora, endangered and vulnerable flora, including 150 Dandenong Ranges bird orchids. It's also the known roosting, nesting and foraging site for powerful owls. So they want to take out that land in order to access the rock beneath.
But if they thought they only had 10 years a number of years ago, why all of a sudden do they find now that they've got another 30 years?
They slightly altered where they were taking stone from to eke out more time. I think they may have been exaggerating how quickly they'd run out of rock. But this new expansion proposal would mean they'd be able to access the, 26 million tonnes that's underneath this forest area. But it would bring the quarry even closer to homes and schools. There'd no longer be this ridge. At the moment, there's a ridge that protects like Billanook Primary School and the Steiner School on Liverpool Road, offers them a bit of protection from the noise and the dust and the blasting. It's the dangers of the inhalable dust, the crystalline silica, that's a huge issue. And the people on the other side of Canterbury Road, I've been speaking with residents recently who say they can no longer even open their windows since that there's a big, there used to be a tailings overflow site that was heavily treed on the opposite side of the road, of Fussell Road to the quarry, but that was sold a few years ago and the trees cut down. And since then, the people on living in on the Kilsyth side are having extreme problems with dust. And the nuisance dust is one thing, Alan, but it's this inhalable dust that is a significant health issue. We've got Pink's Reserve, and I remember the air quality expert. I didn't mention that that guy, and that was part of the EES as well. The air quality expert saying that it's worse when children, people are running around because they breathe more deeply into their lungs.
In further, yeah.
Yeah, and we've got these all this surrounded by schools and kinders and Pink's Reserve with the footy and the netball, and not far away the Montrose Rec Reserve as well. It's unbelievable that it's still here, and unbelievable that they were rejected after an EES, which really interestingly, the principal solicitor at the Environmental Defender's Office back in 2008 said that was the absolute end of it. They had nowhere to go after completing an EES. So for them to come back now, when even more is known about the health issues, when the environment's in an even sadder state, is pretty devastating. It's shameful.
So where does it sit now, Kim? Who's the application still before? Who makes the decision, the government or a government department?
Yeah, well, this time they bypassed the Shire of Yarra Ranges,
right.
And the councillors are against it again, which is fabulous. But it's gone straight to the government, and it's in Sonia Kilkenny's hands at the moment, and we're just urging her to reject it out of hand.
Has she given any indication when she may come down with a decision?
No, we were all worried that that might happen quite quickly, and we were hoping that she'd reject it quickly, but yeah, we're not sure when that decision might take place.
But
the community opposition to it is massive. We've already had massive community meetings with so many people concerned, and the petitions got over 3,000 really quickly. This is for a local issue, but it affects a lot of people. I remember last time there were people from further afield who were like, how dare they quarry the Dandenongs? And there was a quote, Alan, from The Age, I believe, back in the 60s, that called the Montrose Quarry, the cancer of the Dandenongs. Mm. It only got through by one vote in the mid-1960s, and that was with the proviso that it shut fairly quickly, and it's still going.
Still going. What sort of buffer zone is there around? Because, I mean, the thing is, with some of this stuff, the particles can blow a long way, particularly on a windy day.
Yeah, that's right. The buffer zone's practically non-existent, really. There's so many homes and residences, like I said, schools, kindergartens, aged care places, sporting facilities within the EPA buffer zone, which is supposed to be 500 metres with a hard rock quarry with blasting. They've also got an asphalt plant on site, and the EPA recommended separation distance for that from any sensitive use, which includes all of the things that I mentioned, is 1 kilometre. So there's people not only are we living with the danger of inhalable dust, which we know has caused silicosis at the site, but also with the toxic chemicals released from the asphalt plant.
Okay. I've got to take one more quick break, Kim, and then we'll come back to you and we'll wrap it up. Talking to Kim, and we're talking about the expansion of the Montrose Quarry. Kim, so where to from here? Is it too late for people to raise objections, or what? How do you go on from here?
Definitely not too late for people to raise objections. So there's a number of things we'd love people to do. Firstly, if they'd like more information, just put Stop Montrose Quarry Expansion into their browser, and you find there's a Facebook group, petitions, and a website, so a lot more information available. Writing to Sonia Kilkenny and any other local ministers, there's a lot of information in those places of how they can help. There's also, we're having a community gathering this Saturday at 1:30 at the Montrose Rec Reserve. We're hoping to get a stop sign made of people that we photograph from a drone. If people are available, then it would be fabulous to see you. We definitely, there are a couple of petitions to sign as well. One that our local member, Daniela Di Martino, has put up, and one that was started by a community member.
So that's this Saturday, did you say? 1:30 at the Montrose Recreation Reserve.
Yeah, there's a smaller oval just at the back where it'd just be a quick gathering for this photo opportunity, but it'd be great to see as many people there as possible.
Oh, so, pardon me, there's not going to be speakers or anything. It's more just a case of taking a photo and saying to the government, well, this is the people and we don't want it.
That's exactly right. It's not a rally. It's just no speakers. It's just a gathering to a family friending brief gathering for this photo opportunity.
Have the government given you any indication that as to how they're thinking or when they're going to come up with a decision?
No, they haven't yet.
Because I guess it just could happen any day out of the blue.
It could. And another, you know, something that some people have been talking about is another EES. But an EES is supposed to be the end of it, like I said. It's like, I can't help thinking, how many death certificates does a project need? Like, it's done. It's finished. They did that. And that was nearly 20 years ago now. And the issues are even more significant, even more well-known now. So they really should do the right thing and close. And I've been on every consultation, community consultation, stakeholders reference group with Borrell, that Borrell's had since the 90s. We spent many hours discussing end-use options, and we thought that by now we'd have a low-level lake and a quarry reserve like they've got in Ferntree Gully.
Yep.
So it's pretty devastating that instead of working on that, they're ignoring the health of the locals. They're wanting to put profit before people's well-being, and we still don't have a reserve. And today, just before you called, we had a blast that I was worried that my voice would still be too shaky to speak to you, because it was, the house shook. It's like an earthquake, and my dog woke out of her sleep in fright. The pictures on the wall go crooked. Sometimes the noise of it and the shake and then the following air blast give you a real fright.
So how often do they do that, Kim?
About once a week. And, yeah, I've been reading more about the cumulative damage to properties from ongoing blasting, and I think there's a lot of residents like me that have cracks in their home, and they have cornices coming adrift. It's just this constant shaking that we put up with week after week, decade after decade.
And what's their answer to that? Or they just don't bother to respond?
Well, they say that individual blasts are within tolerances, permitted tolerances, but those tolerances were set up years ago. I kind of assume that they were set up for properties that were further away than the 500-metre EPA buffer zone, but they also don't take into consideration, I believe, the impact of the cumulative impact of ongoing blasting.
All right, I'm going to take a quick break and then we'll be back with more, and we'll wind it up and we'll get Kim to tell you again where you can go on Saturday.
The 12 days of Aussie Christmas. On the first day of Christmas, a swagman at the gate said, have a ripper Aussie Christmas, mate. On the second day of Christmas, an emu by the fence said, good on your cob, have a ripper Aussie Christmas, mate. On the third day of Christmas, a shearer down the shed said, how about the flies, good on your cob, have a ripper Aussie Christmas, mate.
Nice fork.
On the fourth day of Christmas, a goanna on a rock said, it's stinking hot, how about the flies, good on your cob, have a ripper Aussie Christmas, mate. On the fifth day of Christmas, Frank put up a sign, total fly band.
chicken hot. How about the flies good on your cob? Have a ripper Aussie Christmas, mate.
Just take a breather here. Now I get all this here.
On the sixth day of Christmas, a dingo by the dam said, I'm flat out to Chrissy. Toads on my bed. He's stinking hot. How about the flies good on your cob? Have a ripper Aussie Christmas, mate.
All right, start the mower.
On the seventh day of Christmas, Sue put up the lights, dropping for a chin wag. I'm flat out to Chrissy. Toads on my bed. He's sinking hot. How about the flies good on your cob? Have a ripper Aussie Christmas, mate.
Chance, your moment of glory.
On the eighth day of Christmas, they call the CFA. Santa's on a fire truck. Dropping for a chin wag. Flat out to Chrissy. Toads on my bed. Night.
On the ninth day of Christmas, you should have heard the cheer. School's out for summer.
Is it?
Yes. Santa's on a fire truck. Dropping for a chin wag. Flat out to Chrissy.
Nearly got it.
Total fire band. He's sinking hot. How about the flies good on your cock? Have a ripper Aussie Christmas, mate.
Pull the spark plug out and see if you can get a spark out of it.
On the 10th day of Christmas, you couldn't move in town. A madhouse up Main Street.
Couldn't move.
School's out for summer. Santa's on a fire truck. Driving for a chin wag.
All right. Okay, when would you like?
Flat out to Chrissy.
Have a ripper Aussie Christmas, mate. On the 11th day of Christmas, they drew the raffle prize. You little beauty! Madhouse up Main Street.
School's out for summer.
Well, Santa's on a fire truck.
Well, dropping for a tin wag.
Well, no, I'm flat out till Chrissy.
Oh, no,
it's sinking hot. How about the flies good on your cob? Have a ripper Aussie Christmas, mate.
Last day Christmas coming up, so it's a big one.
On the 12th day of Christmas, we'll take an early mark. Knock off till New Year, you little beauty. Bad house up Main Street.
School's out for some
mark. Santa's on a fire truck.
Chin wag. Flat out to Chrissy. Anyway, we're up to this bit.
Total fireman. It's stinking hot. How about the flies good on your comb? Have a ripper Aussie Christmas night.
Hi, this is David Oaten. On behalf of my good mate Alan Collier and myself, we'd like to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Stay tuned to Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
And that was Bucko and Champ with the 12 days of Australian, Aussie Christmas. And I'll, on Sunday I'll be here between 12 and 3 and I'll play the Irish one, Frank Kelly. Very, very funny one. But that'll be sometime after 1 o'clock this Sunday. Now, Kim, and we're starting to run out of time. I guess you'd like to get as many people along as you possibly can this Saturday.
Yeah, that's right. So it'd be 1:30 on Saturday at the Montrose Rec Reserve. That's 9:50 Mount Dandenong Tourist Road. It's parking. You might want to wander up if you're close enough to walk. But it's just a very informal gathering of people who care about the issue. There'll be the drone photo and a bit of a sing-along with a parody of Jingle Bells that some very talented members have put together. And then off to the Montrose Playground for a bit of a chat afterwards, or to the People's Garden. It's just a very informal gathering to show community opposition to this shameful proposal.
And you don't mind if people just turn up, pardon me, stay for the photo shoot and then shoot through, do you?
Yeah, that's all it is. That's the main focus of it, just a very brief photo shoot. If people would like to stay a bit longer, they're welcome.
All right, Kim, we wish you well. We'd like to know how it goes. I guess you just don't know, do you? Like the news could drop tomorrow or it could be in the new year.
Yeah, and hopefully it will be a rejection. So we are imploring the government to reject it. We've been there before. It's horrible to be facing this again. I feel for everybody. And the stress level is really high.
Just give us that website again, please, for anybody who wants to log on, have a look, and maybe sign the protest or whatever. Where they go?
Stop Montrose Quarry Expansion.
Just all. And that'll bring up a whole lot of things, will it?
Let me just pop it in really quickly, yeah, because we've got Facebook pages as well, Stop Montrose Quarry Expansion. I'm just putting it in to make sure I give you the right ending on that.
Yep.
.com. And there's lots of information there. There's also a lot of information on the Montrose Environmental Group site, a lot of historical information there. Yeah, and like I said, two petitions running, one from a member of the public and one from the local MP. We've had support from all the many different political parties, all saying this should not go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I see that you've got at least two of the councillors were at one of your protest meetings, weren't they?
Yeah, three turned up. Len Cox and Tim Heenan, who fought it in the past. Jeff Marriott also turned up. But we understand that all the councillors are opposed, but they haven't had a chance to have their voices heard this time.
Yeah, they just bypassed council altogether, did they?
Yep. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. All right, Kim. Well, look, thanks for your time. 1:30 this Saturday at the Montrose Recreation Reserve. Go down, have your photo taken and be part of the action. And we wish you well.
Yeah, thanks so much for your time on this, Alan. I really appreciate it.
No worries at all. Thank you, Kim.
Cheers. Bye-bye now.
Bye.